Why is it that we went with a particular individual that we had no prior acquaintance to, no familiarity with? Why did we do it? Well, it had to do with the recommendation of someone that we trusted. And then when we actually met and had conversation about this possibility, it had to do with the witness of the Holy Spirit within us and among us. This morning, the passage of Scripture we're looking at is in John chapter 5, verses 31 to 47. And I've entitled the sermon, Witnesses to Jesus, because in the text, we find numerous ones that are doing just that, bearing witness to Jesus. So as we read the text, you might just keep your ear tuned to that word witness. And we'll talk more about it, of course, then. Verse 31 in John 5, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you might be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life. You think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Well, it was 3 o'clock that night when I took Diane to the emergency room. Because of the significant pain she was having, and she told them that from a scale of 1 to 10, it's a number 10 at that point. They not only administered things intravenously, but they did a CAT scan. Now, why a CAT scan? Why is a CAT scan a helpful procedure or helpful test? Well, it's helpful in that things can be seen that are underneath the surface that one can't see just from looking at the outside, looking at that which is visible to the naked eye. Now, in the scripture we're looking at this morning, it says if Jesus were administering a spiritual CAT scan, the people he was talking to may have had the appearance of being, you know, upstanding, hardworking, respectable people in the community. But there were some things underneath the surface that showed up that were not the way they should have been. The people he was addressing were not spiritually healthy. There are several things in particular that were lacking according to the report that was issued. First of all, in verse 38, Jesus said, "You do not have his word abiding in you." The people he was talking to there did not have God's word within them. It means that they were not true believers. In John chapter 15, Jesus spoke of the need to be alive in him, and noting that we are to abide in him, and he or his word is to abide in us. In writing to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So in Colossians 3, verse 16. So a Christian that is truly a Christian that is healthy spiritually has God's word dwelling or abiding within. Then we also see in verse 40, Jesus said, "You're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Now, the Bible does tell us that it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. We see that in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord wants everybody to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. But in order to pass from spiritual death to spiritual life, a person needs to come to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you happen to be here this morning and have never come to the Lord, acknowledging your sin and recognizing the fact that He is the sole means that God provided for your forgiveness, for your redemption, for your salvation, then I urge you to take that step today, and you're going to be so glad that you did, because it will make such an incredible difference. A third thing in verse 42, Jesus said, "I know you that you do not have the love of God in you." Now, do you find that interesting at all? Because Jesus could have cited any number of things, and yet he spoke specifically of the love of God being lacking or not dwelling or not being within them. Well, John, in his first epistle, points out how bottom line that this really is. Notice what he said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, during Diane's ER visit, there were also blood samples taken. Blood samples taken to see what might be amiss and what is needed to correct the situation. And one of the reasons that Diane's body at that point was not functioning properly was an inadequate level of electrolytes. Now, I'm not well versed in these things, so I have to Google things. But after the fact, I discovered in my reading up on things that proper functioning of the digestive, nervous, cardiac, and muscular systems depends on adequate electrolyte levels. So says Hammer Nutrition. But Jesus didn't need to have lab work done. He said, "I know you." He said, "I know you that you do not have the love of God in you," there in verse 42. So, in order for a person to function properly, in order for a human being to operate the way that they were designed by their Creator, they need to have the love of God in them. So, the people that Jesus was addressing in our text this morning were actually missing out. Why did they not have the Word of God and the love of God within them? It appears that they weren't totally convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. They weren't sold on the fact that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Now, having said that, let's take a closer look now at some of these witnesses that are spoken of in the Scripture, witnesses to Jesus. First of all, Moses wrote about Jesus. Notice again verses 45 and 46. "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." He did? It's interesting. How is it that Diane ended up not only proceeding with the rotator cuff surgery, but proceeding with the surgeon that she actually had do the procedure? Well, it had to do with a high level of trust in the person that made the referral. We both have had a high level of trust in Dr. D'Amato, our chiropractor, that we made use of over the years. And so we paid heed to what he was saying when he actually did a referral to the surgeon at Youngstown Orthopedics. The people Jesus was addressing had trust in Moses, so they should have paid heed to what he wrote. Now, what did he write? Well, we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we find something interesting here, verses 15 to 19. The Lord your God, this is Deuteronomy 18, 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a what? A prophet. Now, if you happen to be using NKJV or some Bibles, it capitalizes the word P. So that gets our attention. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. That particular phrase should jump out at us too, because we find it in other places, do we not? According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet, there it is again, like you from among the brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he, capital H, shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of them. So Moses had written about the ultimate prophet that would come on the scene, speaking exactly of what God the Father had wanted him to say. What Moses wrote was a pointing ahead. It was a pointing ahead to Jesus. The people should have been listening to Jesus and responding to him, given their trust in Moses and the fact that he was saying what he did. Secondly, John bore witness to the truth of Jesus. John bore witness to the truth of Jesus. Notice again verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Now, Tuesday was an interesting day here. I was going to say on Mennonite Drive, but especially here at the church. First of all, there was no telephone and no internet. Found out it was a U-verse network outage. There was no mail service that day. But what grabbed my attention most, perhaps, was the fact that all at once the lights went out, and simultaneously there was this boom, 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 like an explosion. And I wondered, where was that and what was going on? So what happened? Well, there was this big dump truck that was doing its thing, and the top of the rig, when it went up, hit the power line, and the power arced through that. The guy was, you know, stuck inside, and the tires burst. That was the explosions that we heard here in the neighborhood. Now, how do we know what happened? How do we know what happened? Well, first responders and officers spoke to it. And WFMJ had a picture of it, of the truck. The MSG puts verse 33, you all saw and heard about the truck, right? Well, no. But it does say you all saw and heard John, and he gave expert and reliable testimony about me. Now, what was John's testimony? According to John chapter 1, verse 15, John bore witness of him, that's of Jesus, and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then John goes on to also say, verses 16 and 17 of John 1, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John bore witness to the truth. He spoke of Jesus being the one that existed before him. Jesus actually existed before the beginning of time, in that he was one with the Father. Jesus was involved in creating the world as we know it. Well, Moses wrote about Jesus. John bore witness unto Jesus. Thirdly, the Father testified of Jesus. So this picks up with what we read in verse 37. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. Now, for some reason, it made me think of at one point in my work, when I was working for Bank One, I was had a responsibility, had different responsibilities over the years, but one responsibility was sort of an internal control kind of thing. And so my boss sent a memo to the branch managers to let them know that I could be popping in at any time for little surprise audits, and they were to receive me. And if there was a teller, for example, that I opted to do an audit on, you know, they would shut down their window and I would do my thing and so forth. But I was validated by or sent by the main office. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, we read how Jesus was validated by God the Father. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And according to verse 17, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So think about it. What would carry more weight in terms of a validation than a word from God himself? Eugene Peterson's paraphrased the Message. I actually quoted from that a moment ago, but listen to how it puts 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. If we take human testimony at face value, how much more should we be assured when God gives testimony, as he does here, testifying concerning his Son? Whoever believes in the Son of God inwardly confirms God's testimony. Whoever refuses to believe, in effect, calls God a liar, refusing to believe in God's own testimony regarding his Son. So, that begs the question, have you and I taken to heart what God has said regarding Jesus? Have we acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God, and have we given him his rightful role? Or if not, are we indeed calling him a liar? Well, fourthly, in our text we see that Jesus bears witness unto himself. Look again at verse 36, where Jesus said, "But I have a greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Now, you've heard the phrase, the proof is in the pudding, right? You've used that phrase already, that adage. You have? You haven't? Well, it means you just watch and see, and it's going to be evident. The proof is in the pudding, how it turns out, right? So think about the miracles that Jesus did. Think about his healings. Think about the casting out of demons. Think about people being brought back to life. Think about Jesus speaking and things took place. Think about his extension of forgiveness of sin. Think about his death and resurrection. Think about these things. I'm saying the proof is in the pudding. It bears witness. His works bear witness unto himself. So in John chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.'" Now, there's one more thing that I'd like to call to our attention this morning that's not brought out in the particular scripture we're looking at, but it is definitely brought out in the scriptures. And it needs to be thought of in this context here today. The fifth point then is that true believers bear witness unto Jesus. True believers bear witness unto Jesus. Now, just before his ascension, there was a conversation that was taking place with the disciples, Jesus and his disciples. And so they wanted to know whether he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And according to Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, being a witness unto Jesus is not an appointment that the church council makes. It's not something that you sign up on a sheet out on the opportunity bulletin board. It's not even something that you take some elective classes for and then you're in or then you're on. No. Being a witness unto Jesus is something that is an integral part of being a disciple. Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." So, may the Lord help us not only to understand who Jesus is in light of the variety of the various witnesses that gave testimony unto him, that wrote of him, that validated him, that spoke of him, but may the Lord help us also then to be a positive witness unto Christ in these days that we're living in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to be your disciples, to even to bear your name, even to call upon your name. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and are continuing to do, and how blessed we are when we recognize that we have been smack dab in the middle of one of your doings, one of your workings. We rejoice, Heavenly Father, at the calling that is ours, and pray that you would help us to indeed be positive witnesses. We recognize that there are so many people who are living in darkness who need to see the love of Christ and need to experience your word and your work. But Lord, please continue to draw people unto yourself and reveal unto them the reality of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Be with your church around the world. That we could continue to be what you have intended us to be and have called us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.